All right, we are back. It's the Reporter's Corner season preview. It's our eighth one of these. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Urbato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. We just wrapped up another awesome interview. We're almost done with these now. We only have one more left. We've done eight teams. We'll have Lake State coming up soon. But we got chatted with Ryan Stieg. It was a great chat.
Yeah, Ryan Stieg from thetripled.com. He's been on the CCHA show a handful of times. Found out he was a UND grad, which apparently was not widely known, which I didn't know that he was a UND grad, but he'll get a taste of his alma mater when they move to NCHC play next year. But for now, we're talking about their outlook in the CCHA, their final season in the CCHA, and it's a really, really promising year for the Tommies. Trent, what did we talk to Mr. Stieg about?
15 new players on this Tommy's team. 10 freshmen, 5 transfers. It's a very intriguing team in that sense. It's a great recruiting class that they bring in. It's mostly USHL guys, and it's we talked a little bit about who some of these newcomers are and what to expect from them. I mean, there's a lot surrounding this Tommy's team right now. Just today the USCHO poll came out and they had St. Thomas ranked 19th, right behind Minnesota State at 18th. And I know the league's coaches are high on this Tommy's team. They had them at number one. And there's a lot to like about what they bring back. Obviously, they bring back a guy like Lucas Wallen, who is a third-year captain. He was first year as a captain was his sophomore season. He's now a senior. And so we talked a little about Lucas. We talked a little bit about Aaron Trotter, who's back in net. We talked about some of the guys who are gone, and we talked about what to expect from some of these newcomers as well, like which guys are going to step up, and kind of take the reins, first and foremost for this team early in the season, I think is kind of the big thing. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on who those guys are in the early going, because there are 15 new faces, and that's a good little chunk of players compared to some other teams in this conference. I know we just talked about Michigan Tech. They had 18, and the Tommies are right up there with them. Minnesota State has 17. So, we talked a little bit about that. Also got Ryan's take on the CCHA at large and what he thinks about this conference and where St. Thomas sort of fits into it. And then we also, obviously we had to talk about the new ice arena. St. Thomas is opening the Lee and Penny Anderson Arena this season. Believe it against Providence will be their first series at the new arena. So we got his take on some of the non-conference games that he's excited about, which teams he likes to come out of the CCHA, which conference series he's most hyped about. And, Ryan's been on the CCHA show a handful of times too. We've crossed paths with him, Jared, over the years in covering our respective teams. A great guy. It's really cool that he puts his blog together and provides some coverage for what I believe is right now an underserved market when it comes to stuff like that in St. Thomas. It's going to change a lot though this year. Next year they'll be in the NCHC. This is St. Thomas's last year in the CCHA. And so I think, going into that, you're going to start seeing some more media coverage of this team, but Ryan has been there since the start, knows this team pretty well through and through. Has gotten the chance to talk to Rico on many occasions. And so, very insightful stuff. And I think you guys will enjoy, especially if you're Tommy's fans.
Yeah. And I think too, I'd like to clarify a couple of the things I said on the show where, in that turnover discussion where they bring back comparatively to a Minnesota State, right? Where Minnesota State has so much roster turnover. St. Thomas brings a lot of guys back that were double-digit point getters. And I think that's where they differ a little bit from, a Minnesota State or a Michigan Tech in that regard. Whereas, another thing too, I also said I had St. Thomas 14 in my USCHO poll. I looked again, it was 16. So still very high on the Tommies. I misspoke when I said they were 14 instead of 16. So just a little bit of clarifying before we go into the episode. As an ethical journalist. So let's kick into our interview with Ryan Stieg. All right. It's time for our eighth season preview interview. And while we've introduced some newcomers to the CCHA podcast network, we're going back to the well today with Ryan Jason Stieg. If you've been listening to the CCHA show for the past couple of years, you've definitely heard Stieg on the show. He covers St. Thomas for the TripleDeek.com. Stieg, you spent a lot of time in that St. Thomas Ice Arena the past few years. We'll start here because we're going to talk about the new arena and stuff. But okay. How excited are you to get a real press box and a real rink to cover college hockey in this season?
I'm happy because it won't be as cold. You know, St. Thomas had this reputation for being an ice box, and it really was.
It was.
Like mid-January, it would be so cold up there. I remember one year, I mean, it didn't happen too often, but a lot of times I would have to have a winter coat on just up there, you know, just typing on my laptop. And it's like, from what I heard, the heating bill has been paid for the upcoming season at St. Thomas. So I'm looking forward to just not having to wear a coat the entire game and can just like, hey, I can settle in and stuff like that. But there's a tiny part of me that'll miss the
yes!
Mendota Heights. I just because I did it for 4 years there. I got so used to driving there. Now I like when I checked out the arena, like now it's in St. Paul, which is, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes from my house when I could make it to Mendota Heights and less than 15. So it's like, it's a longer route to get there. And so I'm going to miss the distance, but I'm intrigued to see how this is all going to work because the arena is going to look really nice.
I'm also going to miss the St. Thomas Ice Arena. This past weekend I was in Brainerd covering women's hockey, which was also in a high school rink. They played an exhibition against the Gophers, and like the one cool part about St. Thomas Ice Arena, the jokes aside, the game just looks so much faster when you're that close. And it was a cool experience for a lot of people to, not have to, pay the, 30, 40, 50 bucks it takes to get into a college hockey game sometime, whether it was at the U of M or Mankato or, even up in Bemidji for some of the bigger weekends. And, that was pretty cool. But I'll never forget the Brian Schultz from the Beaver Radio Network. So bundled up for a radio guy. He had like two winter hats on, a coat, a hoodie. And you'd just be sitting there like, okay, only two periods left. Whenever he was down in St. Thomas. But obviously you mentioned it. You got to cover games there for 4 years. How long have you covered St. Thomas hockey?
I was here for the first D1 season. So from the beginning, I covered Northern Michigan for 7 years. We moved back to the Twin Cities because my wife got a job. So coincidentally, that was the first year that St. Thomas moved into D1. So it kind of fit. And so I've been doing it from the very, very start. So I guess I've been, and the website, actually, I tried to follow the league the best I could, but it's just like over time, it was just like, well, they're there. I can't get to BG. I can't get to, it's like, so it eventually became kind of just a more St. Thomas site. But yeah, 4 years, now year five, whereas Rico would say the process, season five.
Yeah.
No doubt. I know I've got two guys here who are certainly going to miss the St. Thomas Ice Arena. I will not. I thought it was freezing cold. I will miss the concessions. The concessions were nice. They were cheap. That was always good. I want to talk about Lee and Penny Anderson Arena, though, because, Ryan, you did a story, a couple weeks back, a week back? It wasn't too long ago, and it was great. I mean, you went through and kind of took us through a little bit of what you saw from the new facility and had some photos and just a lot of breakdown and analysis of what this arena is going to entail. Can you fill us in a little bit on just what you saw and kind of your general takeaways from the arena?
Well, the first thing I noticed is that, St. Thomas is very proud of it. I mean, they've put a lot of effort into it. I think it's going to look really good. First thing I saw, I got to go down at ice level. We went into the middle of the rink. I saw the scoreboard hanging above. It's a nice scoreboard. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's not Ralph Engelstad Arena massive, but, it's a nice scoreboard. And then I got to see where I'd be sitting. We're going to be at the other end of the rink. It's going to be a little different going from center ice to one end of the rink. I've never been to a hockey arena where you're only at one end of the rink. So that'll be an interesting perspective from a media standpoint. But and then you know, we got to check out the locker rooms. I didn't get to take any photos of them. They wanted that to be a surprise for the players, but those are looking really, really nice. For what I can tell you, they're very modern. There's a big slogan thing that has words that
around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those around the top of the locker room. Those are words that Rico likes to emphasize to the program. Strangely, process is not on there. A little weird. I'm like, this, like that's like our thing, man. So, but yeah, a lot of inspirational words. They do have stuff that can warm up the gloves. There's vents in there that can, you know, the equipment doesn't reek. Basically, it's not going to smell like the hockey. It's not going to smell like a hockey locker room. Is basically what it is. You know, they're going to keep that good. Women's locker room looks very similar. I mean, they try. I mean, I got to see the basketball locker rooms too. Pretty much, they're all in the same thing. Obviously, a hockey motif and a basketball motif kind of thing. But yeah, they're really, really nice. I got to see the suites. The suites. There's not a lot of suites, but they're nice. If you have the money to be able to stay there, you're going to have a nice, nice experience. But, and then the entryway has the skyline of Minneapolis on one side and St. Paul on the other. They really emphasize the Twin Cities thing. It's going to be really nice, for the opening game, late October against Providence. I know the teams officially move in, first week of October. So they're playing in Mendota Heights for practice, just a little longer. They can't quite let go of it yet, but they'll eventually move in. And, it's like a transitional period, you know, you're leaving, but you can't quite let go.
Yeah.
So, but, it's going to be nice. It's going to be I think fans are really going to like it. Obviously it's still being built, but it's going to be a clean facility. Like they're going to put a lot of effort into making it a nice experience for everybody. I haven't been to a lot of the CCHA arenas, but everybody says that theirs has features that other ones don't. And I just think for St. Thomas, it's just going to be the most modern one because it's the newest one. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if people see what St. Thomas does and other arenas in the league decide, hey, you know, we should add this too. So I have a feeling it's going to be an evolving thing for the league as well.
Yeah. And it's an exciting year to debut a new rink because, you know, you mentioned how Rico has talked about the process, and the process has led them to this point where they were picked number one in the league by CCHA coaches. They were picked number two in the league by CCHA media. And it's a really, really anticipated year. And it feels like in their last CCHA year, they have probably their best shot to go to the NCAA tournament. Well, obviously this is the first year they can go to the NCAA tournament, but their best shot to win the Mason Cup and win the McNaughton Cup this year with the roster they have. We'll kick it to you because of all the CCHA teams that have had a ton of turnover, St. Thomas brings a lot of guys back. Yes, they did have some turnover. They have to replace four of their top five scorers, but a lot of that core is still there. And I think that's why a lot of coaches like them to finish so high in the league this year. So we'll start with this. When you look at this roster, who do you see as the guys that could, you know, replace that big point totals that, you know, guys like Liam Malmquist and Cooper Gay had that are no longer there? We'll start with the point total aspect of it, and, you know, who on St. Thomas is going to carry that load?
Well, they had a very veteran team, a lot of juniors and seniors. So they lost, Cooper's a big loss. Cooper was big because of his height. He had a lot of tip shots, and he was a big four stab in the middle. So they're going to miss that a little bit. Malmquist was known for his speed, his shorthanded goals and his ability to create moves on a breakaway. That was kind of his thing. And they all worked well as a team. That top line of Wallen and Malmquist, I mean, they were hard to beat when they finally got into their groove in the second half. I think Lucas Wallen is going to win. He's going to win Player of the Year this year. I don't like to make bold predictions, but he came very close to winning it last year. I think if Rhett Picklick hadn't been on Mankato's roster, he probably would have won it last year. So he's just
or Alex Tracy.
Or Alex Tracy, yeah, that as well. Yeah. He Wallen's just a very he's a reason he's the captain, is he's just he's not only good on the ice, but he's a great leader. He came in as a captain as a sophomore, which you don't see a whole lot of teams doing that, your second year guy, but he can score well. He sets up the offense. He's good on the power play. He's obviously going to be, as Riga likes to say, he drives the bus for us. And he kind of does. I mean, he had a great 1-2 punch with Malmquist, but like, yeah, he's going to be their go-to guy this year. They lost, you know, Matthew Gleason's a loss. That's going to be tough to replace. Gleason was kind of a scrappy guy, liked to score down low. He was good on the power play, could set up some stuff really well. Chase Foley didn't score a lot of goals, but he led their power play. They'd been looking for the previous 3 years to have a guy who can lead, who can set it up. He's running up on the power play from his defensive spot, and he's going to be a big loss. The good thing is they also have Chase Cheslock. He's still there. He's been drafted by the Devils. He's a good solid defenseman. And he's not going to be like a high scoring defenseman, but he's going to be a guy that's going to help you on the power play. He's going to be a force that you need. He's a great on the blue line. And so he would be probably the defensive leader. They got a great guy coming in. Lucas Van Vliet's coming in. He's going to be a force for them. A lot of teams really emphasize the portal, but Rico doesn't recruit the portal as heavily as some other guys do. Rico likes to build, he doesn't like to get one and done guys. He likes to get guys that can stick around for a while. So I'm also intrigued to see, with goaltending, Aaron Trotter's back. He had to split time with Seibel last year in net. But you wonder if this is going to be his year, if he's going to fully emerge as the number one guy. He covering hockey for the Tommies for 4 years is Rico won't pick a number one guy until like the last weekend of the season.
Oh yeah.
He'll just alternate every day. And I know he gets tired, 'cause I'll ask him at some point if he's ever going to pick one. And that's just how he rolls. He eventually picks one for the playoffs. I want to think it's Aaron Trotter's net to start the year. But they brought in Carson Musser, and he's going to be a good guy from Colorado College. He's going to be in net. So they're an interesting team. I don't know if they have the type of team that can replace like Liam Malmquist, like you say in Moneyball, where they're like, you can't replace Jason Giambi, but you can have a group of guys as a collective effort can
replace them on aggregate. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It's
like, you love that movie.
you lose a great offensive player, but you have a group of guys that can make up for that. And they don't have the star power of Malmquist, but you still have Wallen leading the way, and you got a good group of freshmen coming in. I mean, I don't think they're going to score as many goals maybe as last year, but I think they're going to be, like they're not going to be so top line heavy. They're going to have
balanced.
They're going to have a more balanced offensive attack. There's not going to be three top guys and then it's going to drop a little bit. You're going to have a lot of guys at the top. Wallen's going to have, he's going to have 30 points and stuff like that, but you're going to have other guys that are going to be in the 20s and stuff like that. So,
for sure. Just to recap everybody, 15 newcomers. Like Ryan said, they have 10 freshmen, 5 transfers. It's interesting you bring up. I mean, yeah, this isn't a team that has produced a lot from its blue line defensively. But I think that a lot of these defensemen get a lot of points on the power play. They get a lot of points in creating that transition offense for what is a really good forward group. And you could argue that this might be the best forward group in the conference. I think Michigan Tech would have a say. They return a lot from their forward group. And we'll get into kind of where St. Thomas fits into this whole picture and what you think, Ryan. But looking at this team now, just kind of what the roster entails, everybody that you're seeing, what are your sort of strengths, and can you identify a weakness on this team right now going into the season?
Huh. Well, I like the fact that obviously they have good leadership. That's going to be a big strength for them. They're a little bit of a younger team than, the last year was, but they've got a lot of guys who can contribute, and it's going to be a great team effort. So I think they got – it's more balanced offensive attack. I guess if there's weaknesses, I guess it's a lot of new guys. So I think last year they had a rough first half, and it took them until after Christmas to finally get going offensively and get – you know, and even, you know, the players said that too. They had a rough first half, took them till after Christmas for everything to come together. So I think maybe the first, you know, few weeks are going to be kind of like, let's see how we can do. Let's see if we can start putting stuff together. So I think the weakness there is there's a lot of newcomers. So let's see if we can fit into the offense. Let's see if we can generate something. I think that's probably the biggest weakness. I think they're good in net. I think the blue line is solid. You're not going to get a whole lot of offensive production from the blue line, but they're good on defense. And that's, you know, the primary goal for defense is to be good on the back end. And so I would say the biggest weakness is probably just there's so many new guys and you got to be able to gel the offense. And, but I think if they can get that going, you know, right away and get that going like by November, I think they're going to be okay.
I think, you know, with, you know, there are a lot of new guys in, but when we look at this roster and the players they do bring back, there are 7 double digit point getters that come back to this team from last year. Not just Lucas Wallen with his 17 goals and 24 assists in 38 games, but it also includes Cage Sturger, Casey Leyland, Mason Poolman, Ryan O'Neill, Luke Leyland, and Chase Chesslock, who we've already mentioned. And that includes Aaron Trotter, who was one half of the best goalie tandem in the CCHA last year. And that seems really, really, really promising, you know, in terms of replacing some of that point production that exited last year, whether it was to pro hockey or to graduation. When we look at this year as a whole, though, because there has to be some breakout players. If St. Thomas is going to hit its apex in the level that I think, you know, the coaches and the CCHA and some of the media members think they can with getting to a Mason Cup and a McNaughton Cup finish, there has to be some breakout players. So who do you like as maybe some guys who flew a little under the radar or weren't, you know, a point per game player last year that could become that this year?
I really like Ryan O'Neill. He had some flashes of brilliance last year. And I think if he can just put it all together, because there were times he can be very streaky. Like you'll look and he'll be like, he'll have a great couple of weeks and then he'll like be really, really quiet and then he'll break out again. So I think if he can stay consistent, I think he's going to be a good player for them. He's the one that I think stands out the most to me. The Leylands are fun because it's two siblings that work very, very well together. I'm intrigued with Casey because he's got that first year out of his way and now he can become a kind of a veteran player. Towards the end of the year, I think he kind of figured things out a little bit more and he was able to compete at a better level. Luke's a veteran now. I think he'll be fine. He's a pretty good solid forward overall. So I like the Leylands. I like Ryan O'Neill. I think they're going to be guys that are going to be key for them. If St. Thomas, like you said, is going to contend for the title, there's a lot of hype around St. Thomas. I feel like it's been building for a while. And now the focus is going to be on them. I think when they contended in their third year and finished second, I think people are a little more surprised, like, wow, they're finishing second in the league, you know, a little earlier than expected. But now year five, you're expected to be that high. You know, people expect you to have home ice. You know, this is their year to shine. And it's their last year in the league. So if they are going to leave, you want to have a lasting moment. You want to say like, hey, we won the Mason Cup our last year in the league. We won the McNaughton our last year in the league. They're going to have a lot of stiff competition. I tweeted out earlier, I think the league is going to be a little more balanced this year. I think a lot of teams are showing improvement. So it's going to be a fight, but I think it's going to be a 1-2 thing between St. Thomas and Mankato. That's my bold prediction, I guess.
Yeah. And, this will lead into the Trent's next question too, but I think one of the biggest candidates for a breakout season would be Carson Musser, the transfer goalie from Colorado College. I mean, it, like you said, Rico loves running a tandem, and he'll run it all the way through the regular season. And you know what? To be honest, it wouldn't surprise us if he did it in a postseason series either, in a best of three. But when we look at the recruiting profile of Carson Musser, he played 9 games for Colorado College last year, went 3-3, 3.94 goals against, 8.79 save percentage. Not the most jaw-dropping numbers by any means, but it was a freshman playing NCHC hockey for a bottom-half team in the NCHC. I look at Carson Musser with his recruiting profile, his metrics. He's a big kid, super athletic. Played program hockey, and this is a kid where if he's able to get some just more consistency around him in terms of defense and defending helping forwards, it just feels like they're poised to find a really, really, really good Jake Seibel replacement. So you know, before Trent gets into his next question, how do you see Musser filtering into that role of being the other half of that tandem?
I'm intrigued to see who starts the first game, because it's a one game thing. Like, their first game is just against St. Cloud. They don't have a series to open the year because they play St. Cloud again in November. I think probably Trotter's going to go game one just because he's been the guy for so long, but I think Carson's going to fit in really well. He just seems like a St. Thomas guy. And like you said, he played in the NCHC. Sometimes when goalies switch conferences and have a different set of competition and a different group, maybe they'll blossom a little more. We've seen it several times and even teams that leave the CCHA, maybe they'll go to Atlantic Hockey and they'll have a great career over there. So I think Carson has the ability to be not just the number two guy, but I think he could be the number one guy, It will depend on how Rico's feeling, I guess, that weekend or something. We actually did a presser once, and I said, I made him laugh because I said, I'm not going to ask about the goalies this weekend, because I always did, to see who's going to start.
A Rico Blasi laugh is like, it's got to be like finding a golden ticket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have like a running total of how many times I've made him actually laugh. It's been maybe in 5 years, it's been 4.
It's funny you say that, because I think the last time I was, it was the first time I met you, Ryan, after the game, St. Thomas had lost to Minnesota State at St. Thomas Ice Arena. And then we, the next night was in Mankato, and they won that game. But right at the end of the game, Ryan, I remember you said to me, "You ready to go talk to an angry Italian?" And it's fitting that Jared's here, because he gets to talk to an angry Italian.
I get to talk to angry Italians all the time. Yeah.
I do want to ask, amongst this team, and I'll get your take on both transfers and freshmen, and you've named a few of them off. Can you identify a transfer and a freshman? I'll give you one of each that you expect to sort of have the biggest impact kind of right off the bat with this team this year.
Oh boy. I would say probably Van Vliet is going to be the guy that jumps out right away. I just like what he brings to the table. I think he can score well. He's just a good all-around player. I think he's the guy who probably jumps out the most. As far as the transfers, unlike previous years, when Malmquist came in as a transfer, I knew that he was going to be the kind of guy who could make an impact immediately. It took him a little longer than expected, but that last year he exploded and had the kind of that we thought. So I think the jury's still a little out on the transfers, because I'm not quite as familiar as they were with some of the other ones, but you guys have anybody in mind?
Musser's one too, clearly.
Musser and Schoen were the two big ones for me.
I like Nick Williams too. I mean,
like Nick Williams. I thought when I went back and I saw he only had 8 points last year, that surprised me a little bit, even though he is a defensive defenseman. There were just games where he was everywhere for Michigan Tech, and he was a problem to deal with. But I was Musser when St. Thomas got Musser, that kind of moved the needle for me more than pretty much every other CCHA transfer. Granted, it's been said a million times on the show how big of a goalie guy I am, so that's probably a big part of it. But I really like the addition of Charlie Schoen too from Arizona State. He only played 18 games last year, but 4 goals, 5 assists in those 18 games. A little bit more regular top 6 minutes. He finds a good line. He can stay healthy. All of that mixed together, it just seems like another really good candidate for, you know, maybe he's not going to go into the Liam Malmquist category where he has 45 points in 38 games. That seems like a little unrealistic to, but if we're talking about replacing the point production on aggregate, that feels like a guy that could really, really help out. And I also like Dylan Godbout a little bit too. Again, only 14 points. He only had 14 games, 1 point last year for Ohio State. But when you talk about it, just going from one conference to another, seeing a different style of play, a different level of competition, could really open guys up. And, you know, for kids transferring too, you could say, oh, well, he didn't do much of anything in 14 games. What's the expectation for him to do something at St. Thomas? Maybe it just wasn't a good system fit. Maybe St. Thomas plays a style of hockey that's more beneficial to a player, or, you know, Augustana plays a style of hockey that's more suited to a Cole Birch than a Ferris State would be, right? I mean, this is the case for every single kid that goes in the portal. You know, even if that's not the sole reason they go in the portal, they look for an opportunity where it's going to open them up to a higher level of success. And so I tend to give transfers the benefit of the doubt there. So even if, you know, Nick Williams only has 8 assists in 34 games, that could be a spot for him to get a little bit more involved offensively while still keeping the same defensive prowess he had with the Huskies last year too. So that's kind of where I look at for the transfers.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you look at stats from a previous year and, you know, guys get enticed by a school, they go there, and sometimes, you know, it just wasn't what they thought it would be. So they go and try somewhere else and, you know, they might blossom there. I mean, you look at Malmquist, you know, was at Wisconsin, was his contributing as high, then he found his spot. So it's, I think a lot of guys maybe have found their best. This is where they're going to blossom. And I like your guys' predictions too, because I think Charlie has a lot of potential. And so does Nick. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Malmquist is such a good example for that too. And, you know, I think we can go down the list of a lot of – I mean, Jackson Judding is a perfect example. He couldn't crack the lineup at Colorado College. And he turned into the best center in the CCHA last year in terms of just faceoff. I mean, the opposing coaches talked of him like he was the boogeyman when it came to just winning faceoffs. Like, it was like, oh my God, we got to deal with this guy taking 25 draws a game. What are we supposed to? But it was just a change of scenery for him. And, you know, and it's, again, it's a good reminder too that every kid that goes in the portal is not going in because of, you know, their choice. Sometimes kids are told to go in the portal because they don't have a roster spot for them on their current roster. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation for some kids, but it's also a situation for them to find where they fit best in college hockey. And sometimes you don't figure that out until you've played a year or two of college hockey to see where you would find the best place to succeed. But you mentioned some of the two non-conference series already with St. Cloud State and Providence, which are two really fun series. Obviously, Rico talked about it during media day with St. Cloud. They're going to be their NCHC travel partner with St. Cloud. And but it's a fun non-con slate. Do you have a conference series and a non-conference series that you kind of circle where you're like, oh, I'm really excited for these two?
It's kind of the obvious one, but probably non-conference is the Providence one, just because they're opening the new arena and there's going to be a lot of there, you know. I think plus Providence made the tournament last year, the NCAA tournament. I want to see if they have the capability to get back. They're gonna be a
fun team. High on Providence too. Very high.
I think that one stands out just because of the home opener and the arena and everything. That's the one that leaps out of me. But I also like the North Dakota series. It's the weird Friday Sunday kind of thing going on. Games at the X.
It's called the Grand Casino Arena now?
Yeah, we call it the G Spot now. That's where it's that's what it's called. That's the Minnesota dubbing of the X. It's no longer the X, it's called the G spot.
Okay. Interesting.
Are you gonna go up to the Ralph this year?
As a fan, I'll be up there.
Okay.
I'm not going to be up there for that series. I'm not going to be up there for the Friday game.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, I will be up there at some point. There's a family thing that we do in Grand Forks every year, so awesome. I'll be up there at some point. But
you've been to the Ralph and you've done the whole experience there before?
I used to go to UND, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that'll explain it.
I keep it under wraps. A lot of people don't know that I went to UND but yeah, I spent 4 years going there, and it was it's quite a place. I it's very unique. I don't think anything can really compare to it. But you know, I do like what St. Thomas is putting together. It's not a Ralph, but it's going to be really, really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I go to the Ralph every year for the one game Bemidji State plays there, and I grew up in northern Minnesota, so I've been a handful of times, and it's like, it's not comparable to other college hockey environments. Like, when you're like, oh, what's your favorite college hockey rink to go to, I almost don't put the Ralph in the mix because it's not a college hockey rink. It's
an NHL rink, basically.
A pro hockey rink they play college hockey games in, but it is like become a little bit of a selling point whenever we need to get a new sports report. It's like, hey, Thanksgiving weekend, Jared will take you to the Ralph. So, yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited for that Providence series too. We're going to get into the USCHO poll a little bit, but
did you give a conference series?
Well, I mean, Canada's always interesting. Just because,
and that's their first one too. I find that really interesting. They open conference play against Mankato and do the home and home. That's going to be a fun one to test where these two teams that have been picked at the top are at. Right,
it'll be a good test for both of them, because there's a lot of, you know, Mankato always has, you know, there's been, you know, the king of the conference for so long, or like a 1-2 thing. You know, Bemidji's had some good years there too. So I think this is, you'll see where Mankato's at, you know, at the end of October, and you'll see where St. Thomas is at, and we'll see who's the better team at that point. So I'm always interested in Mankato. There's the rivalry there. Mavs fans hate St. Thomas. St. Thomas fans hate Mankato. So it's always a fun atmosphere, and it'll be interesting to see it in the new arena, because, you know, the arena was so small in Mendota Heights, and Mankato would bring the house, you know, there. So it would seem like it was a little more of a Mankato home ice advantage because of the amount of fans there. But I don't think that's going to be the case. But I would say that's the one that jumps out the most. I think Bowling Green will be interesting, because Bowling Green, they've been hyping it as they have the best recruiting class, according to this matrix that they've been measuring it by. They're the best recruiting class in the nation. So I'm intrigued to see how that's going to work. Tech's always fun. They always have a good, tough series against Michigan Tech. I would say Mankato just because it's Mankato, but I'm probably Bowling Green is one that I'm also really looking forward to.
I also think it's interesting that St. Thomas plays three games against Minnesota State and three games against Augustana. Or not, St. Thomas plays three against both, sorry. There's a one-off game against Minnesota State on January 10th. They play a one-off game against Augustana on November 15th, and they do a full series against Augustana at the very end of the season. It's just a really bizarre looking schedule compared to
the rest of the season. It's like a Hockey East schedule.
Yeah, yeah,
kind of is.
Yeah, but it should be fun, and I'm curious too, because with them opening the season against Minnesota State, those two teams could look a lot different and a lot more polished when they meet again for a third time in January. Not to say that, you know, whatever downfalls that either team could have in that opening series were going to be a severe problem. It's just two teams working through roster turnover and new teams, right? Just as every other CCHA team is doing. But then they get to go back and play in Mankato in a one-off game on January 10th. Those two teams could kind of be rolling a little bit more, especially coming out of that Christmas break, and see and really kind of see where they stack up. But That jumped off the page to me that they play six combined games against Minnesota State and Augustana, three apiece. It's pretty interesting there. So,
yeah, a little odd, but
Well, we've asked everybody this, Ryan, and we'll close out kind of the more team specific stuff, and then we'll get into a few CCHA questions for you. But finish this sentence: St. Thomas will have a successful season if blank happens.
Oh boy. Does it have to be just one thing or can it be like multiple things?
Sure.
I mean, we can throw in some commas. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think it'll be a successful season if they win one of the cups, if they win the Monotan, or if they win the Mason, or if they win both, you know, great. It's because I think that's where their expectations have kind of reached at this point. They wanted to get home ice. You know, I thought they'd get home ice last year. They did, you know, but now they want to take that next step. They've come close to winning the Mountain. They've come close to winning the Mason Cup. So now I think the expectation is we're going to win at least one of them, you know? So I think, I mean, yeah, you get home ice is great, you know, because you got to host some playoff games, but I think the expectation is now like we want to win a trophy. So whether they win the regular season or whether they win the playoff tournament, I think if they win one or both trophies, I think that'll be the successful season for them. I think year five, they want to be winning championships. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. I see that as it's really the only answer, right? Like, and for the reasons you said, when you come so close and there's no more excuses either. Not that it was a team that was, you know, leaning on those excuses, but you're no longer playing in a high school rink. You're no longer playing without the ability to make an NCAA tournament. They're here now. They're a part of this. They're fully indoctrinated into college hockey. And there's just no more room to say, well, they would have if this happened. And so, and I think that expectation is extremely fair too, because that's what a program like St. Thomas sets out. It's, you know, Rico said it in that little hype video they did. You come to St. Thomas to play for championships, and that has to be the standard going forward, especially moving to the NCHC. But it's time to kind of look at the league at large here too. And before we kind of get into our CCHA questions, the USCHO poll did drop this morning. St. Thomas was ranked what, Trent? You got the poll in front of you?
19th, right? Yep, 19th. Yep. And Minnesota State at 18.
Yeah, and they were what, one of five CCHA teams?
Six total received votes. So St. Thomas and Minnesota State were ranked, and then you had Michigan Tech received three votes, Bowling Green had five, and I believe Augustana and Bemidji State each had one.
Yeah, and you know,
Jared, were you the Bemidji State voter, Jared?
I was not the Bemidji State voter. I can
tell them where you had St. Thomas, though. Tell them where you had St. Thomas.
I might have had St. Thomas higher than any other person in the country. I think I went back and looked. I had him at 14, I believe. So I'm very high, very, very high on St. Thomas. I've talked about how they've been my McNaughton Cup pick all fall here. I think they are the class of the league this year. I love the players they brought back. I love their portal additions. You mentioned Van Vliet. I did end up picking Reed Morich as my preseason rookie of the year. It was down to him and Van Vliet. What he did in the USHL last year was out of this world with 26 goals, 33 points in 63 games. Almost a point per game in the USHL is really, really impressive. And there's a lot to like with their other incoming freshmen as well. But for you, Stieg, give us your top four teams in the league this year. Who gets home ice and who wins the McNaughton Cup? It's a tough four teams to pick this year.
It really is, man.
Well, I would say I look forward to the hate that I'm going to get from Mankato fans when I say this.
Welcome to the club, brother.
I think St. Thomas is going to win. I think they're going to edge out Mankato for the McNaughton Cup this year. didn't think Cato's going to finish second. I think it's going to be a Tech Bowling Green fight for third. I think it's going to come down to like the last 2 weeks, because this it wouldn't be the CCHA if there wasn't a push for the final weekend to get the last home ice spot. It would be weird if like all the standings were exactly where they were supposed to be, you know, the last week of the season. So I think it's going to be a Tech Bowling Green fighting for third. I had Tech in my poll that we did. I had Tech at three and Bowling Green at four, just because I think Bowling Green's going to be much better and I like what they're bringing in, but it's like, I'm so used to having Tech up there and the home ice spots that I'm giving them the slight edge there, but I think it's going to be Tech and BG are going to be the last two ice spots. I think Augie could be up there. I think Bemidji could maybe contend up, you know, it's going to be weird because I think everybody's going to be better. I don't think NMU is going to have the disaster that they had last year. I think they're bringing in a good group. So it's going to be a close thing, but I think it's going to be Tommy's Mavericks, Tech BG, and BG Tech could flip very easily.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I like it.
Here's another fun one we have. And we've had to sort of alter the question because we ask typically which team, but we have it as which CCHA team or teams will play in the NCAA tournament. Because do you see this as a two-bid league this season?
Well,
or a multiple bid? I don't know.
Two of them are ranked, so that bodes
right.
Well. I think you could get two in. I think it's going to be the kind of year where the CCHA doesn't just get the one representative. I think they can get two guys in. At the top, I think it's probably the favorites. Your St. Thomas and Mankato are going to be the ones that most people see would be the ones to get in. I think the same way. But for me, it all comes down to health, too, because third year for St. Thomas, that was their big thing. They led the CCHA for a good chunk of the season, and then they got hit with all those injuries and just kind of fell apart there. So I think health is going to play a big thing. If all these teams can stay healthy, I think they can have – Tech and BG could easily make the tournament too if they can find a – put it all together at the right time. But I would say, I think the CCHA is going to get two teams in this year.
Okay.
Last one for you, but – of the bottom five that you didn't have in your home ice, who is the most likely to be the big sleeper team that kind of comes out of nowhere and really contends this year?
Let's see. Well, Augie jumped out at me last year. I thought Augustana was going to be better, but I didn't see them jumping all the way to number two their second year in the league. I don't know if it'd be a surprise that Augustana gets there, but they're probably my sleeper team just because I feel like there's a lot of talk about Mankato, St. Thomas, BG's hype with their recruiting class, and Tech's always up there. So I think people are sleeping a little bit on Augustana. So I would probably say them, maybe Bemidji. Ferris has a new coach. That'll be interesting. Yep. And Lake State's an interesting team.
They are.
I think they're going to be good this year. There's also a team I think some people are sleeping on. Damon's a good coach. And they had that one year, a couple years ago, where they finished last, and it was just shocking that they had that kind of a year. So I would say Lake State could sneak in and turn some heads at some point. I don't judge teams really until after Christmas, because I've seen so many teams have a massive turnaround, you know,
where
it starts. So, but I guess if I had to pick one of the bottom five on my list, I'd probably pick Augustana, but I think any team could play that role.
Augustana is interesting in that regard too, because they did finish second in the league last year and they were the big sleeper team last year, but it's really easy to sleep on them again because of how they exited the Mason Cup playoffs. They didn't you know, go into the Mason Cup playoffs on this big tear like they set, like they had in the middle of the year. And you lose some of the pieces they did, even with the little amount of roster turnover Augustana had. It is kind of easy to forget about, oh yeah, there was this team last year that had no problem beating everybody in this league at one point or another. And because of the way they lost, I think they've been forgotten a little bit. But when you still have Josh Kotai and you still have Garrett Rabouin as one of the best head coaches in this league, and it's a really, really interesting group because they could win the league, and I don't know if how many people would be truly that surprised if they did. But they could also finish seventh, and I don't think anybody would be that surprised either. So yeah. it's just a bizarre situation with and for Augustana too. It's okay, now you have to play a full league schedule. How does that change things? You know, so it's a really interesting point there. But I'm out of questions. I don't know, how do you got any more, Trent?
I think that's it, man. I think that's all we got.
We're good to go. So, Ryan, thanks for joining the show. It was fun to talk Tommies with you, and it was it's a really, really exciting group, and I know you're excited for it as well.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys on the rink too. It's gonna be a good college hockey season.
Absolutely.
I want to come up there. I want to come up to the arena on I think it's the end of the season when Augustana plays. My cousin lives in St. Paul, so I'm really hoping I can make it up there in February. Hopefully it's not like horrible conditions between Sioux Falls and St. Paul, but I'd love to come and see that arena. It looks awesome. And I do want to point out too, there's a lot of similarities in this arena to Augustana's arena here in Sioux Falls. It's a little bit bigger, but you know, it's small school and it's kind of got a similar vibe. And I think that's sort of what they're going for with this Liam Penny Anderson arena. I believe it holds 4,000. And it even is up off of the ice a little bit too, just like Midco is, which I think is awesome for fans. Like there isn't a bad seat in the house when you can build an arena like that.
You're going to have a great view. Even if you're at one end of the ice, doesn't matter if you're at center ice, you're going to be able to see a lot of stuff. So,
yeah, it'll be a good time. But thanks for joining the show, Stig. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stig.
Yep. Happy to be here.
All right. Once again, thank you to Ryan Stig for joining the show. And thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Urbato PP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.